Jeff, in our musical roundtable last month, you picked a song from the latest album by Mike Doty, The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns. And then, lo and behold, Mr. Doty himself was passing through town recently, and he stopped by the station for an interview.
Lo and behold, there he was at our front door on a Friday night at 6 o'clock. It was really a pleasure to sit down and talk with Mike Doty. I've been a fan for years and years, since his days in the band Soul Coughing. It was a big band back in the 90s. The band broke up in 2000, and Doty's gone on to release a number of really outstanding solo records. And on top of that, he's also published a book of poems and, more recently, a memoir about his struggles with addiction. He's a really nice guy, very talented, and he's led a very interesting life. It was really a pleasure to sit down and talk with him.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that interview.
I don't need to walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around in circles, walk around me.
Thanks for coming in, Mike Doty.
Absolutely, of course.
So, Ruby Vroom was where we got to know you. Mm-hmm. An incredible series of records that you did with Soul Coughing. Love those discs. Love everything that you've done.
Great, thank you.
Which is, you're a really prolific guy. How many albums out?
Well, this is the 9th solo album, 12th overall if you
That's a lot.
Soul Coughing albums, yeah.
The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns, that's what the tour is in support of here.
Mm-hmm.
So the title of the album, I understand you co-opted from Marc Maron. What's the story behind the title down, The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns?
Well, I've known him for a long time. I've known him. I used to go see him at a bar on Ludlow Street on the Lower East Side with like 20 people in the audience. And it was something that he just said in the rant in the top of his podcast, where he literally sits there and talks to himself in his garage. And that's like the first 10 minutes of the podcast. And it's great. And he said that, and I recorded it while I was driving, just said the title into a recorder, and I was like, that's the title of something. I don't know if it's a song or an album. I don't know what it is, but that's a title for something. And I wrote him, and he was cool with it. Didn't remember saying it.
All right.
But
there it is.
Got permission.
There it is.
There you have it.
I stand where the light is pure, the moon is on fire, my hand upon the door, I'm burning like a white wire.
Mike Doty, nice new album, a lot of new feeling on this.
New feeling.
Well, when you compare this album, Mike, to what you were doing with Soul Coughing back in the 90s, there's a lot more melody. There's a lot more.
Oh, sure.
There's a lot more. A lot more of you, I guess. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I mean, I was a reasonably shallow person in the 90s, so I couldn't really tell you. I feel good about this work. I think this is the best thing I've done in a number of years. I keep doing record stores, and they sort of play the record incessantly before and after you do your little set. And I keep hearing it and being like, there's nothing I would cut. You know, generally, since Haughty Melodic in 2005, every record that's come out, I've been really invested in getting all the songs I wanted to get on the album, and then I'll listen to it down the line and be like, I should have cut that. It should have been a 9-song album or a 10-song album.
Not so with this one.
Not so with this one.
You're good.
Well, I mean, for one thing, I actually did cut stuff, and it was painful. And I was like, no, this is really good, and people are going to like this one. And I'd be like, no. It's also short.
Uh-huh.
It's 36 minutes, which I love in an album. I love something that if you like it, you get to the end and you're like, I want to hear it again.
There's a face shining on the wall. There's a race that rolls on wrong.
So
So can I speak for just a moment? And we don't, you know, you're welcome to say no, Jeff. We don't want to talk about that. But can we talk about addiction for a little bit?
Sure, we can.
What's in the press and what's available to the anybody who peruses the internet is that you were in a bit of a haze back in the 90s.
Yes, you would. You could very much say that.
So how has that played out for you?
I just had basically the gift of desperation. And, you know, I was forced to a moment of crisis in terms of, like, depression and anxiety as well as addiction. And, you know, I got clean, got into therapy, started taking care of myself, left Soul Coughing, which I should have done a few years before that. But I got the courage to leave. And then since then, I've slowly built up my creative life. And my, you know, just my life. Haughty Melodic, the first like sobriety album, was great because I was working with Dan Wilson, who he's gotten a couple of Grammys since then with the Dixie Chicks and Adele, and he's like a hardcore guy. And it took about 3 years, stem to stern,
long time
to make it. It was a long time.
Long time.
To feel like busting up a Starbucks.
So was that during a transition period then, the Haughty Melodic recordings?
No, I was sober. I mean, it was a transition in the sense of figuring out what I wanted to do artistically, in terms of sort of going out and sort of going to the Soul Coughing audience and saying, I'm not going to play that stuff. And, you know, if you dig the new stuff, that's cool. We'll hang out. But I had to clear the decks. And I think if I had not done that, I would just be stuck playing just the same songs over and over again for the rest of my life, which I didn't want to do.
Yeah. Keep growing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it's not easy because people get a fix on you. And they want you to do the same thing over and over again. And the problem with that is people keep thinking they're going to be, you know, you're going to make an album that's going to make them 22 again.
Right.
It's like,
right.
You're not. Like, it just, you know, I can make a record that's like a carbon copy of Ruby Vroom and you're still not going to like it.
Right.
You know, because you can't restore someone's childhood to them.
Right.
So, you know, if I wasn't going to keep growing, I would just be sort of shoveling something inadequate into that need.
So I hear you talking about that from the creator, the musician's end, mm-hmm. but from someone like myself who listens to this music, and this music has this this really powerful sort of hold on our on some memory or something, you know, that youth that you're talking about.
Right.
Does it piss you off? Are you like, you know, grow up and come with me on this new thing? I mean,
when people
yell out, you know, "Busta Beelzebub" to you, or
I really don't like it when people want to tell me the story of their sophomore year in college.
Right. Okay.
Like, you know, I was in the frat house and my roommate got me drunk, and always the story ends up with, and my roommate had the CD, or like, and then I heard it on the radio. But there's always this long emotional journey. And I understand why it's important to people. And I have done that to people. And like, you know, I get it. But I sort of sit there going, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, all right, yeah. Thank you. You know, and it was a lot more annoying before, you know, I got, you know, I wrote a lyric from Yes and Also Yes on a lady's leg in Seattle, and she went straight to the tattoo shop and had it tattooed on.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I wasn't connecting with people with this new stuff, and obviously I don't have anywhere near the kind of publicity capacity I did when I was on Warner Brothers Artist, but it would be hellish if you know, nobody was listening.
Right.
People are listening.
Yeah.
And you just have to get over the fact that, you know, it's important to people, and you have to sort of smile and thank them and, you know, try and be cool about it.
Right.
I was a man alone, leaning on the white courtesy phone. Holy fool and hobo signs, I rebuke you, moony lines. I drove into the sun, yeah.
beautiful lyrics, and I'm wondering how does the lyricist, poet, writer meld with the musician? And that's a lot. That's a lot of talent you gotta.
Oh well, thank you.
Wrestle, you
appreciate
know?
That. I mean, I think most people don't listen to the lyrics until they've heard the song a bunch of times, unless it's the chorus. And I think even then, some people just they don't really hear the lyrics other than the chorus. So I don't really think about like a narrative, or you know, I don't really feel like I have something to impart. Really, I'm dealing a lot with sounds. A lot of the lyrics are just sonically interesting, like they're just interesting vowels. Really, that sounds odd, but you know, there's a lot of like sort of matched vowels. You know, a lot of it is stuff that I've written down on my phone because I've just thought it up, or I saw it on a newspaper headline or something like that. But it's not. Like I don't get offended if people don't know what the word. My cello player, Andrew Scrap Livingston, does not know the title of a single song.
Wow,
really.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you prefer? Is it really doing it all, putting it all together, or is there one thing that you like to sit in front of keyboard?
And... They're very different things. It certainly can be painful to write long form prose. It really is like. You know, like I will wake up first thing in the morning and start messing around with guitar parts when I have a book to write, and I am writing another one. I wake up and I just do everything I can to not start writing until like noon, which is lame because you get the really great stuff if you start first thing in the morning.
So, because you'll deplete yourself, or what's the reason for
that? There's just something about being, you know, I would say something like kind of corny, like, you know, you're closer to the world of dreams when you first wake up.
Uh-huh.
Super corny, but I do think it's true.
Okay. All right. Mike Doty, thank you so much for coming in.
Of course. Thanks.
I hope that when you come back through, we can do this again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome. Like they never did
before. That was Jeff Bury speaking with Mike Doty. His latest album is The Heart Watches While the Brain Burns. You're listening to Aircheck from 91.5 KRCC. No, at least not like you did when I was close to you so sweet.